few announcements we'll make. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes, that would help us out tremendously. We do ask, once it gets to the last person on the pew, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, we would appreciate that. First person, when it comes back to you, please tear out those pages that were used today. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. Many things happening in the life of our church. Remind you about a couple of things. Many things are listed there. Upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Basketball has started for all our 3rd through 12th graders. Tuesday nights, we have basketball for everybody. Our 3rd through 6th graders, we are combining with Bex Baptist Church to have a team for the Hoops for Him League. They practice at 6 o'clock over at Bex. Then our ladies, 7th through 12th grade, and our intermediate guys, 7th to 9th grade, practice at 6 to 7:30 at Old Town Elementary. And then our 10th through 12th grade guys practice 7:30 to 9 at Old Town Elementary. So we want you to be a part of that. Deadline's coming up to sign up for that. So make sure you make note of that information. Also, this Wednesday is our Operation Christmas Child Boxing. We are excited about doing this for another year. There are boxes in the hallway right outside of Smith Hall. We are collecting items that our youth and children this Wednesday will be putting in boxes. These boxes will be sent to children around the world for Christmas, and we need donations to fill up those boxes. We typically put together 75 to 100 of those boxes, and we need your donations to make that possible. So thank you for helping us out. We need those by this Wednesday, because Wednesday night at 6:30 we start putting those things together. So thank you very much for helping us out with that. We have an important announcement from two of our youth. Sean, Avery, y'all come on.
Good morning, I'm Sean.
And I'm Avery.
And by show of hands, how many of you all here like to eat? And who likes to socialize? Well, that's good. Who likes doing both for a great cause?
Well, you are in luck. I don't know if you have ever heard, have ever had any Mr. Andrew Osley's famous barbecue, but it's absolutely delicious.
I guess you figured out where we're going with this now. But once again, our youth group's going on an international mission trip. This time we're going to Jamaica over spring break, and we need y'all's help in order to raise some funds.
We are having a barbecue dinner on December 10th in Smith Hall in order to help erase some of the costs of the trip. Individual tickets will be sold for $8, and family dinner packs will be sold for $32. And full pork butts will be sold for $45.
You can purchase a ticket from any youth, and with this purchase, you'll be helping in our cause to go to Jamaica and carry out God's work. This congregation has always been very supportive of our youth group and our trips, and we ask for your support once again.
We all hope that you will come out and see us on December 10th for a delicious meal and some wonderful fellowship.
Good job, fellas. Doesn't that make you want barbecue? So let's sell it out today. If everybody in here bought at least 10 tickets, we would sell out the barbecue. All right, Christmas, early Christmas presents. Great job, guys. Thank you for doing that. There is one other announcement that we need to make this morning now, but I have two more special guests that are going to help us announce this next thing. So we'll introduce the puppet team for our next announcement.
I am building a bridge.
A what?
A bridge.
You can't build a bridge with food.
Sure I can.
Can I?
Yes, I can.
Can I?
Yes, I can.
You can't do that.
Absolutely I can. I can do it.
You can't do it.
Yes, I can.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Can I?
Yep.
I don't believe you.
I know that I can. Food is very stable.
Stable enough to build?
Yes.
No way.
You've never eaten my grandmother's pound cake, have you?
I don't think I want to.
Well, it's pretty good and stable.
In the world.
That is my bridge. I told you I could build a bridge. A bridge of relationships, good food, and good fun, and fellowship.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I did.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
No, you...
Whoa. Why are you fighting about a bridge? You're supposed to get over a bridge. Oh, it worked better at 9 o'clock. Okay. Yeah, it worked. Now, here we go. I need for you to help me out. I need for you to help me out. We're excited about this new ministry our family ministry team has come up with. It's called Bridges. Building relationships in intergenerational groups every season. I had to put that together. All right, so I need for you to be excited with me, all right? We're going to do this together. So I'm going to say, give me a B, and you give me a B, all right? Choir, you ready? Congregation, you ready? Bridges people, you ready? Puppets? Never mind. All right, here we go. Give me a B.
B.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me a D.
D.
Give me a G.
G.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
What does that spell?
Bridges.
Say it again.
Bridges.
One more time.
Bridges.
Yeah, absolutely. Give our bridges a big round of applause. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Everybody should have, or inside your bulletin, there is one of these beautiful hand custom-made flyer bulletin inserts. Okay? This tells you all that you need to know. Well, not for the choir, because y'all know everything, right? Right. Yes. All right. Anyway, bridges. This is something our family ministry team has felt very strongly about. We want to build relationships across the generations. And so this is an idea that we came up with. We want you to be a part of this. If you fill this out, put your names there, check the age groups, and then place them in the, on the desk outside Smith Hall at the Welcome Center, there's a basket for you to put this sheet of paper in. We're going to take all those names and we're going to make up groups from across the generations. And four times this year, those groups will get together for a meal. Now, it could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner, it could be at somebody's home, or it could be at a restaurant or anything in between. It's completely up to the group. We're the family ministry team wanted to provide something for the generations to get together. And so we want you to be a part of that. We're very excited about it. And we're going to, over the next couple weeks, you have an opportunity to sign up. You can use this one. There are additional ones there at the Welcome Center desk. So thank you for indulging us in that brief introduction. I appreciate the puppets and our bridges to being a part of that. Okay, any other announcements? Anything else? We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. We thank you for giving us your information a few moments ago. And we want to give something back to you to let you know a little bit about College Park. So if you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers are coming down the aisles. They will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this welcome packet, you will find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you will find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park. So we're blessed, especially by your presence today. We have a little bit of housekeeping we need to do before worship begins. So I want to recognize Chris May.
Good morning. We do have a little bit of church business, so for those that are visitors today, if you'd bear with us for just a few moments, I'm going to call us into church conference at this time. We are conducting deacon elections this morning. And just a few logistics to point out. Again, this is for our members, and if you were at the 9 o'clock service and you've already voted, you do not need to vote again. On the ballot, there will be a list of 8 names. You can vote for, please vote for no more than 6. Once you are finished with your ballot, if you would pass them to the center aisle, we'll have the ushers collect those. And I'll pass these out. At this time, I'd like to recognize Jim Purnell.
On behalf of the Deacon Election Committee, I'd like to place the following names in nomination to be deacons: Neural Godwin, Irv Grogan, Becky Haney, Virgil Jessup, Charlie Jones, Chris Morris, Molly Rawls, and Doug Summers.
Is there anyone who has not received a ballot? Okay. At this time, I'd like the ushers asked if they would come back down to the front of the aisles and collect any completed ballots, please. Have all the ballots been collected? Does anyone have a ballot that needs to be picked up? Okay. That concludes this portion of our business meeting. Our conference is concluded. Thank you.
He turns the door.
psalm read, "He's given us a new song and a hymn of praise to sing for Him." There's some days I don't have the words. Most days I don't have the words. I don't even know what to pray sometimes. But God gives us the words. He will inhabit us here as we praise Him. So even if you don't have the words, even if you don't know what to say, being here and listening to God is worship. Let's pray together. Father, by our presence today, we recognize to you and to everyone here that you are God. We are not. And we need to hear from you. Our praise waits for your presence. We need to be near you. And we need for you to be near us. Help us. Speak to us, we pray. Be in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, come on down. I want you to sit on the floor right down here. Crisscross applesauce. Sit up. Okay. Sit down. Sit down. Everybody, hands to yourself. Thank you. Jared, look this way. All right. We're waiting till everybody gets from here from the balcony. Man, look at all of them. I'm so excited that y'all are here this morning. Take a seat. Everybody, keep your hands to yourself for just a couple minutes. Did you want to be? Yeah. How are y'all?
Good.
Does everybody like my red book?
Yes.
My red book. My red book. Mr. Mike, do you like my red book? Okay. Mike Beeson, I know you like my red NC State red book. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure you know I got a red book. Okay. Good. All right. Now, do you know? Do you? I need everybody to sit still. Sit still. Right there. All right. Now, did you know that God does math? Did you know that?
Yes.
You did? What kind of math does he do?
He does.
Let me just sit still. He does. Does he do calculus?
No.
I bet he invented calculus. What are you talking about? He invented it. He invented all of math. He invented the person who invented it. Oh, that's deep, Wilson. Okay, I want to read you some scripture. And I'm going to prove to you that God does math. Listen to this. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. That comes from the book of 2 Peter, which is in the New Testament. Now, there were some big words in there, okay? And the question I want to ask you, and this is when you have a math problem, when you're doing math, you're trying to solve a problem, right? You're trying to find the answer. My question is, who is a disciple of Jesus? And this is the math that we're going to learn this morning, okay? There were some big words, okay? There were some big words. Can y'all help me do this math? Are y'all going to help me do this math? Okay. So that was a big word called faith. Okay? What's faith? Caleb? Believing in something you can't see. I think we're just going to stop right there. Is that all right? Faith. Okay? And then, so we believe in God, but is it enough to just believe in God? No. There was another word. It was goodness. All right? So, faith, add goodness. Now, what's goodness? When you're being good, what is doing the good thing? What does that mean? What do you think? Doing the right thing? Doing the good thing? Okay, let's say you're on the playground and somebody falls off. Do you laugh at them or do you help them up? That's goodness. All right? Okay, but then, is that all you're supposed to do? No. So we add, is that the add sign? You add knowledge. What's knowledge? What is something that you know? It's something that you learn. You come to Sunday school. You read the Bible. You become smarter. You learn stuff. Because who gave you your brain?
God.
That's right. So we start with believing in God. Then we do good things. And then we have knowledge. And we learn stuff. Okay? Like, have you ever learned how to hit a baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That takes a long time, doesn't it? Okay. So let's add. We're going to put our add sign. Did I do that right? Okay. All right. Add sign. The next is called self-control. Self-control. Now, that's a pretty... What is that? Do what? That's right. Keep your body from doing stuff you're not supposed to be doing. Let's say when you're hitting a baseball, do you swing at every pitch?
No.
Yes.
Or you get out a lot, don't you?
I don't even play baseball.
Okay, all right.
You swing at strikes.
You have to wait for the right pitch. You have to wait for the right moment that when they taught you how to hit, you have to wait. That's what's called self-control. All right. Then there's another big word. We're going to add it. Perseverance. Woo, does anybody know what that big... What does that mean? Keep on trying. Keep on trying. Even if you know how to hit, even if you have self-control, does everybody get a hit every time?
No.
You keep going. Perseverance. Oh. And never give up. That's right. Then the next... I got another and sign. Jared, is this an and sign? Jared, is that a plus sign?
Yeah.
Okay. And this next word, godliness. What is godliness?
Oh, I thought that was gentleness.
That doesn't say gentleness. Godliness, becoming like God, becoming like Jesus, when you have faith and you're doing good things and you're learning about Him and you're practicing self-control. Jared, can you take a seat for me? Thank you. All right. Perseverance, godliness, and there's two more that we add to all that. Brotherly kindness or kindness. What's kindness? You're being nice. You're thinking of them more than you think of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then love. Being a disciple, remember that was my question. What is it? How do you be a disciple of Jesus? Is it just faith? No. Is it just believing in God? We have to act it out in everything we do. Even when things don't go our way, we have to keep going and add all these things. That's what being a disciple means. Not just believing in God, but acting on and doing things because of what we believe. See, God does do math. And every day we can do something better than we did the day before. Okay, can you help me do that? Let's pray together. God, we love You. And we thank You of the instruction that You give to all of us, not just the kids, but all of us. Just believing in You is not enough. We have to put into practice. We have to act on what we learn and what we know to become more like Jesus, which is exactly what being a disciple is. Thank You for that. Thank You for that lesson this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And go back to your seat.
Thank you, children. What a blessing to hear those voices singing praises to God as part of worship. What a blessing to share a word of Scripture. as we share in worship this morning. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the New Testament in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 9. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Romans 8, beginning at verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, in this season of thanksgiving and thanks, in your house this morning, we have thankful hearts and encouraged spirits. Lord, for the gifts that you've already shared with us in worship this morning and the gifts of seeing these children use their voices to sing praise to you, we give thanks for the opportunity to gather in your house on a day like this and set today aside to not be just like yesterday and not be just like tomorrow, but to be your day, the Sabbath day, the holy day. We give you thanks. Lord, I give thanks for each person here, for different ways that you've impacted our lives over the last week, and the way that today you helped us have the strength and the health to be able to come here and be in your house for worship. I give you thanks for that, Lord. It is so comforting to know that no matter what's happened in the past 7 days, that you've been there for us, whether we've had the best of days or the worst of days, whether we've dealt with great news and new events in our lives, or whether we've dealt with grief or disappointment or surprises at things that we were not prepared for, that you were right there, Lord, watching over us, loving us, and caring for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, my prayer this morning is that today, on your day and this week, that you will draw us closer to you, that we will walk more closely with you in the coming days, that we will both bow down to you as our children sang, and that also that we will seek to have this Spirit of Christ living in us as we read about in Paul's letter to the Romans. Lord, please help that Spirit to shine in us so that we may grow closer to you. And please help that Spirit of Christ to shine outwardly also, that we may touch others and be who you created us to be and share this incredible gift of a relationship with you and salvation through Jesus Christ with everybody we come in contact with, so that we may spread this joy and spirit and encouragement and hope that we have with others in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our places of business. Lord, thank you for all the ways that you give us hope, that you encourage us, and that you give us reasons to shine for you. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
In a commentary that I was studying this week, there was a definition of divine providence. And the definition was God working out his good plan. College Park Baptist Church is a testimony, I believe, to divine providence. It is God working out his good plan right here in our church. One way God's plan is working is by our offering of financial resources. Our 2011 budget, where your heart is where your treasure is. Where is our heart? This budget shows where our heart is. Our World Missions Ministry is the first item and lists the parts of God's plan that we support. Our prayer today is to be humbly and completely thankful to God for his providence. He gives everything to us and wants us to know that and respond. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus and his death, life, and resurrection, and for his love for us. Please give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And thank you for this day and this church. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of your plan, for College Park to be part of your divine plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many of you, by any chance, that were not in the 9 o'clock service, know what a phrenologist is? Phrenologist. It's exactly right. Were you in the 9 o'clock service? No. You must have grown up in a rough neighborhood. A phrenologist is a person who judges character or determines personality or character based on the bumps on your head. Like little whatever. You know, and again, if you'd grown up in my neighborhood, that would be very complicated for this guy to try to read. How about this one? How about a graphologist? Handwriting. Those who determine your character or kind of analyze your character or your personality based on your handwriting. Okay? Now here's a tricky one. Physiognomist. Those are the ones that obnoxious. No, those are the people who look at your facial features, the set of your jaw, the way your eyes, or those type of things, and they determine or they think they can determine what your personality or that type of thing or your character is based on your facial features. That sounds really complicated, as do all of those, and confusing. And I think there are probably less complicated ways of judging a person's character. Let me give you a suggestion. Here's a quicker method. Find the consuming passion of that person's life. What is his or her greatest love? Is it immaterial things? If so, then the conversation will eventually come back around to their stuff. Okay? Is it in the love of gossip? If so, you'll see that sparkle in their eye when someone makes a spicy comment that could cause conflict for another person. What is their passion? What is their love? Truth is, every single person takes on something of the countenance of his or her, the thing that they love the most. That is probably more than any other reason the importance of faith, discipleship, Christian education, the worship, corporate worship together, that's the importance of what we do together as church. Because we're learning to develop that passion in our lives for Christ. You see, identity, personhood, being, those are kind of the central themes of our text for this morning. And it's themes of great need, I believe, in our world today. And I want to read to you our text. It comes from 1 John. 1 John, which is toward the end of the New Testament, it's in one of John's letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're reading from 1 John, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll read the first 10 verses of John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. He writes this. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anybody who does not love his brother." Our identity, our true personhood, John would say, begins with God. God's love has made us who we are. He's made us all that we are. He even says it. It says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. That's what we are. For John, there could be no greater status than to be a child of God. There's no finer identity than to be identified, named by God through his love as a child. This past Wednesday night, we were talking in the Wednesday night study in Smith Hall about fear of God. And that's a biblical command, that we should fear God. But how do you reconcile fear of God with the fact that God is love? And I said that would be kind of an introduction to what we were going to talk about this morning. And I dangled a carrot out there. I threw a little bait out there and nobody took it. It kind of disappointed me. Because I said, you know, I understand that thing about fear and about love, because I have no doubt in my mind at all but what my Father loved me. But I can tell you beyond doubt as well that there were times when I feared him. And I was wanting somebody to come up and say, oh no, we've met your daddy. Such a sweet guy. We can't imagine that. And then I could tell you all stories about the drill sergeant days. We could swap some stories and nobody came. But that's, I have to be honest with you. What I was setting up for is the fact that when I feared my Father, I really wasn't fearing my Father. I was fearing the discipline that I knew was coming because I'd messed up. I did something that I knew was not right. And so I feared the discipline that was coming. Even though I knew without a shadow of a doubt, in theory, the discipline was based in love. You know, I thought, you know, I don't want to experience that. My selfish nature did not want to experience the discipline, the authority, the consequences of what I had done that was wrong. But I do know that discipline was based in love. So do you understand the relationship? Fear of God, the discipleship, the whole thing of discipline being based in love. When do we fear God? Well, I think we fear God the most when we know that we're not living like he wants us to live. You know, as John goes on to explain, our identity, our true personhood is inseparable from our actions. How do we live as Christians? Those are actions that either please or displease God. Those of us who are parents, we know how to, that the identities of our children are kind of grow out of our relationship with them, right? The kind of relationship we have with them. Dad, the kind of relationship you have with your children will be part of how your child comes to see God. We call him our Heavenly Father. Does your discipline come out of love? If so, you're teaching your child about the relationship that they should have with God. Children, especially when they're young, they like to imitate their parents. If you've ever noticed that dad, sometimes the way you're standing or the way some of your hand gestures in your young children, sometimes you'll see those moms, same thing. You'll see that the way you talk and the way you act, the children start to imitate that. Now that can either be a blessing or less than a blessing for us, because children pick up both our bad and our good habits. There's a couple of songs. One of them is a country song by a fellow named Rodney Atkins called Watching You. And it's quite humorous as it begins, because the child, the father has to slam on the brakes and the McDonald's orange drink and fries go flying. And his four-year-old son lets out a four-letter word. And the father says, you know, where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, Dad, I've been watching you. Yikes. Well, it kind of comes back around, and by the end of the song, the little boy gets down to pray. And again, the father asks him, where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, Dad, I've been watching you. So they kind of resolve his character and redeem it a little bit. There's a Christian song by Phillips Craig and Dean, that the lyrics go, I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. And it's a father's desire to be more like Christ so that his children would see Christ in him. And I think that's the message. John says the same should be true for us. Our identity is influenced by fixing our eyes and our lives on Christ. As children of God, we become more Christ-like by following, by imitating Christ's words and actions. And we have them recorded for us. We know how Jesus lived. It's recorded for us. Read it. Learn from it. Imitate it. That's what John's saying. And one of the words that John uses in the passage that we've read this morning to highlight the importance of our identity being rooted in Christ is the word see. S-E-E, see. In verse 1, he says, see what love the Father has given us. In verse 2, he says, what we do know is this, when he, that is Christ, is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Again, in verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. So for John, how we see Christ is very important. Now, why is that? Well, for a lot of reasons, but let me give you a historical example, probably of what John was kind of combating in his day. In the first century, there was a group called the Gnostics. And the Gnostics, there were several different branches and it varied a little bit, but the basic idea of the Gnostics is they were teaching something different about Jesus than John was. The Gnostics, among other things, for example, the word Gnostic itself comes from gnosis, that is knowledge, an imparting of knowledge, some sort of divine knowledge, that was redeeming. They believed that matter, physical matter, didn't matter. Okay? Matter really didn't matter. Therefore, the human body, what you did with the human body really was not as important because it did not affect the soul. It had no influence on the soul. So you could pretty much do whatever you wanted, whether it was good or bad, and it didn't make any difference. Now, so for the Gnostics, Jesus did not, his sacrificial act on the cross was not meaningful. You know, the idea of him physically dying for the sins of humanity, that really wasn't meaningful because most of them believed that he really didn't have a physical body like ours. It just seemed like he did. Just kind of appeared as if it was human. So, you know, for them, that really didn't matter. And John is responding to this Gnostic view by emphasizing that Jesus, the Logos, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, that Jesus did come. He did come into the world to suffer and to die for our sins. And that what we do with our physical bodies does matter to God. It does affect our soul and how we believe and how we think. So John is instructing his community then, don't follow the examples of what you see in the Gnostics. Rather, follow the example of what you see in Christ. He writes, you know that he, that is Christ, was revealed to take away sins. In other words, what he did matter. It does matter to us. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he, that is Christ, is righteous. Now, is John saying, once we become Christians, we'll never sin again? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that we will be influenced. Once we become a believer, we will be influenced by Christ's love and his grace. That seed within us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the influence of Christ will influence, will change our hearts, will change our minds, and influence our action. The influence of Christ alters our will. So we deeply desire to do what pleases him. Christ makes us aware of the harmful stuff. Christ makes us aware of the destructiveness of our sin. So we're then free. Then we're motivated by love for Jesus to do what's right. I'll give you another example. In seminary, I took a really cool course called photography. That's back in the day when they had this stuff called film. and you took pictures and it was, the image was on the film, but that was latent. I mean, there was really nothing. You couldn't see anything there until you went through the process of developing. Exactly. You had to develop the film. And then you had to shine the light through it. You had to expose it onto the paper that was light sensitive and you could burn in the edges and do all kinds of cool stuff. But it was latent. There was no image there until you drew out the picture through the process of development. Well, think about our lives. We have potential as the children of God, but we need development. The proper process to make it plain, to make it clear, to make it usable. We need the discipline. We need the disciples, the discipleship process so that we can grow in our knowledge of Christ. We need the discipline, whether we know we need it or not, whether we're rebellious to it or not, whether we fear it or not. We need the discipline that's rooted in God's love. Interesting, discipline, disciple, It's the same root word. Both of them should be motivated by love. Okay? Discipline, discipleship. It's the process of discipleship development that draws out the image of Christ in us. And so we're works in progress. The work of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, always ongoing. So we grow in our faith journey. We grow more like Christ. We grow to know Him more. So today I think we have two things that we can take away from this scripture passage. From 1 John chapter 3, I think there's a word, there's a call to repentance, and there is a word of grace. Here's the call to repentance. As followers of Christ, we have to have an open attitude. We have to have a willingness to be corrected, to be disciplined by God in love. And we have to have the courage to change our ways when we engage in destructive behaviors. That's the word of repentance. The word of grace reminds us of the dignity and the high status that we've been given as children of God. With the Holy Spirit's help, we will be able to live our true identity by following Christ's example. That's the challenge this morning. I ask you to pray with me and ask for God's help as we do that together. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be together as your children and to worship you and to learn more about you, to learn what you desire for us. God, we thank you for the opportunity to live out the example that Christ gave us, and we pray that you would give us the courage, the wisdom, the insight, the self-discipline, all those things that Jeff was teaching the children about. We pray that we would take all those things and become more like Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you this morning, if you're not a believer, this is your day. This is an opportunity for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be here at the front. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I'll be glad to talk with you how you can receive Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I really just haven't been living like it. If people can't see Christ in me, then I need to become more like Christ. And if that's your heart's desire, you're certainly welcome to pray where you are or come here to the front at the altar. Or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you as well, whatever you feel like God is leading you to do. And if you're here this morning and you would like to be a part of this fellowship, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever you feel like God is leading you to do this morning, be obedient. Be obedient to His leading as we stand and sing together now.
Oh,
benediction and the response, I invite you to be sure and greet one another. Be sure and greet those who are guests with us this morning. I hope you have a wonderful week together. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day, the beautiful weather we're enjoying, as well as the warm fellowship of this body of believers. God, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would give us your heart for people and your heart for loving each other as well as you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.